Pam, you said this week has been intense. Definitely like a hugely intense week for the world, and I think filled with so much grief and like absolute heartbreak. And yeah, it's hard to really, I don't know, be present in our own selves when there's so much chaos that we're watching from a distance, right? So yeah, it's been an intense week. And yesterday we had the Libra eclipse, and I'm wondering if anybody had any eclipse shifts or eclipse changes. Eclipses, according to the ancient astrologers and the modern astrologers, right? Eclipses are big moments of change. They're almost moments of karmic reckoning on our path ahead, where we may be faced with certain moments in our lives where we're making a decision to change in some way. And this can be a change to the tune of a new beginning. And this also can be a change to the tune of an ending. And as the tarot teaches us, beginnings and endings go hand in hand, right? So I think this is why eclipse weeks feel so intense. And one other thing too that I think in general, like, what does the concept of karma teach us? I've been thinking about this on a individual and a collective scale. And like, what does karma really mean? Is it something malicious, like karma's a bitch and people get what they're, deserving of? No, I don't know. I think that's a very whitewashed version of what karma is when we're talking about karma. But really, I think karma is decisions, choices, that we are making. And the sort of result or the effect or the energetic shift that is correlated with these decisions and choices. And from my like very, very limited understanding of like how the human soul and the human psyche is connected with the idea of reincarnation and sort of this idea that we may live many lives with similar themes, right? Sorry, you'll have to excuse my extra sinusy voice this morning. I'm struggling with the seasonal changes, but I think there's something about this idea that we can live many lifetimes. If you don't necessarily buy into the idea of reincarnation, we could even just think about this idea of in this lifetime, like we can live many days, repeating the same patterns, right? We can live many lifetimes repeating the same things. And ultimately, I think the human soul chooses to come to this sort of hellscape of Earth because like there's something about like the intensity of the human experience on this planet specifically. Like I don't think other beings and other planets experience this quite as viscerally as we do on Earth. Like this idea that like our souls choose to come to this planet to reckon with something, to break patterns and to recognize cycles and recognize like when certain things, certain patterns will never result in what we're hoping for them to result in, right? This kind of reminds me of, you know, the concept of just war in general. And, like, if you know anything about me, I'm, like, I'm a pacifist, meaning, like, I don't think, like, violence and war and bombing and killing people ever results in any sort of, like, karmic, it doesn't result in any sort of, like, karmic evolution. If anything, it creates more patterns of the same that we get even further entrenched into, right? You know, that's on a collective scale. And then on the individual scale, we can see this in our own lives, like war in our own individual, like, I don't know, experiences, like the wars we fight with our children, our parents, our spouses, our exes, and how I think conflict is like that karmic breeding ground for the old cycle to repeat itself. And I don't know, it's something I'm thinking about this morning with the moon in Scorpio and Mars in Scorpio. You know, it's a week post-eclipse. It's an eclipse hangover kind of week where we may need to pull back as individuals and maybe reckon with, like, where is the pattern being repeated? You know, like, or where is there an opportunity to create a new pattern? If you've ever wondered, like, what's my purpose? I think we tend to ask this from, like, an ego perspective. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? Like, am I supposed to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever? I think all of our purposes is like breaking cycles. Truly. I mean, we could say part of our purpose is to be of service to others, but, even underneath being of service to others is like breaking out of our patterns and becoming more like self-realized, self-actualized people. And what Scorpio season reminds me of is how sometimes breaking cycles isn't this big moment of like the axe chopping the wood in half. Like, it's not necessarily this big moment of visceral, tangible change. I think Scorpio season reminds us of the wisdom of retreat and how retreat can help us not only realize our patterns or break our patterns, but retreat can help us almost integrate the sort of changes in the air. Just even astrologically speaking, you know, okay, we're in Libra season. Think the Justice card. Think the Libra weighing of scales. Why is Libra the sign associated with the scales? Well, this time of year, at least in the Western Hemisphere, we're literally harvesting crops. The ancient people would have been measuring their harvests around this time and thinking, do I have enough to survive winter, right? So that's Libra season in a more ancestral viewpoint. Then we go into Scorpio season and we're like, all right, now I'm like jarring my crops. I'm like making them, you know, into non-perishable items so I can store them throughout the winter and I'm hoping to survive during this winter, right? And winter is scary. Winter, especially in ancient times, like, you know, we think Game of Thrones, right? Winter is where you're most vulnerable. Winter is where we like don't really have like indoor heating. We only have like the fire of the hearth. We don't have this sort of span of choosing which foods we want like we do in the summer, It's a little bit less of an abundant time, and we might even have to stay inside and retreat in order to survive, which is also why I believe we've basically invented a phrase for this in the modern psychological realm, and that's a seasonal affective disorder. I'm not invalidating that experience. Certainly you could say there's been times in my life where that would have been a accurate diagnosis, sure, but like I think seasonal affective disorder is literally getting at something ancient inside of us, which is like around this time our ancestors were literally preparing to how to survive, and it was a bit of a sad time, right? Like, we don't know who's going to make it out of the winter season. There could be sicknesses during this season. Something could happen. We could run out of food. We could be attacked by Vikings, or now I'm getting really Game of Thrones. But you get what I mean. Like, there's something about this time of it getting colder. I mean, our survival instincts deep down start being like, oh my God, like, what's going to happen? You know, I better prepare for survival, which I think is really the more spiritual energy behind something like seasonal affective disorder. It's not just about like us getting less sun and it being cold out. Like, yes, but I'm also wondering what it triggers within us on like a karmic ancestral level, right? That being said, I do think there's still a lot of wisdom in retreat right now. And I brought the bear animal spirit to witch church this week. Because for the bear, without a doubt, the bear is able to decipher, you know, okay, it's getting cold out, it's time to go hibernate. Like, I know my survival instincts or my survival odds are much greater if I follow my instincts. And what are my instincts saying? Well, at least for the bear, it's saying you need to sleep more. You need to fill up on, like, your nuts and your berries and your fish and make sure you're sort of well-stocked, like, within your own body, very well-nourished. This is a time to be more nourished than you typically are. And, like, it's time to kind of prepare for hibernation. Not only as a survival mechanism, but the witches, okay, now we'll zoom out, you know, the witches knew, oh, winter is a time where we're going to be staying inside more. There's more time to self-reflect, right? And isn't that the message of Samhain, which is the witches' New Year, the witches' Halloween, also the witches' darkest day of the year, the day of the year that it might not be the darkest day of the year, but it's the day of the year where the veil is the most thin and we're kind of like entering into the darkest phase of the year. That's it. So like, that's where the wisdom is, right? Like, the witches always knew, like, ooh, okay, on an ancestral level, we're starting to hibernate, and how do we survive this hibernation on a psychological, spiritual level? Oh, this is a time to communicate with my ancestors. It's a time to use the darkest moments of the year to reflect, to be more internal. I can't go outside and talk to the squirrels and, you know, talk to the trees. In fact, the trees and the squirrels are in hibernation as well. This is why we're all so sick. met in the head. We're sick and, because during the winter, humans aren't meant to, fulfill the same amount of productivity and energy levels as we are in the summer and the spring. But capitalism has no space for seasonal wisdom, which is also why we're all sick physically, because we're eating foods that aren't seasonal. But that's another rant. That's another rant. We won't talk about the invention of modern agriculture today, but anyways. So, and how, like, the invention of modern agriculture is, like, the exact opposite of what the witches knew to be true, right? But anyways, like, there's a wisdom that the human body is giving us right now. Hibernation time. It's the bear time. You know, it's time to make some more time for rest. It's time to, like, slow down just a little bit. I'm not telling anybody to, like, give up on their goals, dreams, and ambitions. Like, we can still do that, but the container for internal reflection, meditation, rest, connection with the ancestors and the spiritual side of things, that container is asking to get larger right now, right? And Corey, you said, damn, that's a major correlation with fall, survival instincts, and depression. Yeah, totally. And yeah, I mean, that's why we're depressed in the winter a lot of the time, because our body and our mind and our spirit is telling us one thing, that it is, like, actually kind of natural to slow down during this time. And maybe melancholy doesn't need to be so demonized, but yet societal pressures and norms tell us, like, every single season has to be for production in some way, right? So, I don't know. I think there's a greater societal problem when it comes to seasonal affective disorder, which is really, for me, like, capitalistic modern agriculture disorder. So, Emmy, you said, I was picturing a bear while you were giving the message. Ah, oh, that's so cute. And you said, I want to hibernate so bad right now. And, Corey, you said, this explains why I start gaining weight in August. Maybe ancestral work can stop that pattern. Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing too, like, when it comes to, like, our bodies, this is something that Heather, my friend Heather from Intuitive Healing Ayurveda, I think most of you follow her, and she's been on my podcast twice now, I think. But something that she taught me is that, you know, it's okay for the body to change. You know, it's okay for the body to change. Yeah, such a mind-blowing concept for, you know, us femme beings who, you know, have, oh, I think everybody has shit around their bodies, right? We're literally taught to, like, hate ourselves, but, like, it's okay to have your body change. And even something Heather has told me before is, like, it's actually very natural to gain weight, you know, during those winter months, because, again, it's the animal in us, you know. It's like, okay, I need this weight to survive, I need this weight to keep warm, just like it's natural to naturally shed a few pounds in the spring, summer, because we're moving more, we're sweating more, we're eating, like, lighter things, because that's what our body is calling us to, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak on anybody's, like, health, but I just thought I'd share that. Yeah, winter bodies. Corey, you said it's okay. It's okay for the body to change. Don't get me wrong. I'm hot AF, but I'm 50 and my cholesterol is bad. Yeah, totally. And like that is for us to, you know, assess on an individual level, right? For like what is health and mindful for us, you know, in, during our care. But, you know, for one thing with the bear, when there's mindfulness in retreat, it's interesting because I think some of us, most of us have some sort of like fear of retreat or, I don't want to say fear of aloneness because most people here are of the highly sensitive spectrum and typically highly sensitive people love to be alone because, you know, that's when we can actually hear ourselves and hear our energy and connect with our energy and really feel like, oh, this is who I am without so much energetic clutter around me. But yet there's kind of this fear of maybe going too internal, this fear of losing ourselves to the sort of isolation vibes of winter. At least that's something that I sometimes fear. And as a highly sensitive, introverted person, I don't know if anybody relates to this, but like I often, in my life, I've often straddled the line between like just enough alone time and like way too much alone time to the point where like I'm actually isolating myself or I'm not making an effort to, for me, I call it exposure therapy. Like I'm completely losing my exposure therapy efforts to socialize and like leave the house and like not really challenging myself to be in the world, and thus my anxiety around those things gets worse, right? And I think there's wisdom in the bear when it comes to those things in general. We might think, oh, I'm afraid to go into myself. I'm afraid to take this time alone. I'm afraid to rest more. I'm afraid to listen to myself because, you know, what if I get too far into my own darkness? Or like, what if I feel too much into my grief? Or what if I discover something about myself or listen to a voice in my own head that's been, you know, trying to come through for a long time, but I've never quite let it through entirely until now? Like, I think these are the fears that we associate with hibernation time. But I think the bear also, in this spirit animal or this sort of animal messenger being about wisdom of hibernation, we can also have a lot of peace with this animal because just like the bear has a natural instinct of when to go into the cave and rest and retreat and eat his berries and, you know, maybe go into a little bit of that, like, comatose state. The bear also has the instinct of, like, when to wake up from that, right? The bear has the instinct of, like, I don't really need to worry about going into this cave and getting stuck in there forever because my intuition and instincts will also tell me when I have to leave the cave as well. Now, as humans, I don't think we're quite meant to be like the bear, like go into the cave for like, what do they go in there for? Like four to 5 months? And not come out for that long. I mean, that's not healthy for our species, right? But I do think there's some balance of like this week in particular, the energy forecast for this week is like, brah, you're doing too much. It's time to slow down. If you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because your body and your mind and your spirit is saying, hello, it's hibernation time. Time to rest, right? So humans have this internal clock too. Again, it's not exactly the same timeline as the bears, but it's there, right? And Corey, you said bears don't stay up wondering if their alarm will go off. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, like kind of tapping into the alarm, the sort of internal clock. You don't have to set it, it just knows. Emmy, I kind of want to be the bear too, just because I think I get the most socially overwhelmed around this time. Like, because I am feeling the pull to like spend just more time like going to bed early and like not going out and, you know, just doing my thing, like doing my witchy activities like journaling and writing and but yet there's so many demands from the outside world, like, you know, sometimes it makes us desire like a complete disappearance off the planet for a while, right? Now, the other type of wisdom, too, that's coming through is the Four of Swords, which does have the same tune as the bear. Like, the Four of Swords also, the Four of Swords also talks about wisdom in the retreat, wisdom in the not doing, right? But also, the Four of Swords says, just because we're in the Four of Swords doesn't mean there's not significant changes going on around us. But what it means is we need to give ourselves the time and the grace to integrate these big changes. And yeah, Corey, you're exactly right. Like, me moving into this new house, like, it is a huge change. And even though, like, I love this house, like, even though I'm embracing this new change, it's still a moment of integration for me. You know, same with when we enter into a new relationship or break up with someone. You know, it's like there's an integration period. When we get a new job, there's an integration period. Guess who usually has a longer integration period than the average sort of person is the highly sensitive person. I think it takes longer for the highly sensitive person to integrate changes on a both a like mental level but also a nervous system level. And the Four of Swords tells us like there's some nervous system integration that has to be done right in this moment. And it's interesting because my roommate later, she's bringing her cat, so I'm no longer living with that, you know, super cute fluffy dog that you guys sometimes saw on my Instagram story, but the latest member of the animal kingdom that I'll be living with is, my roommate's cat, and, also you might have seen these Bernese mountain dogs on my Instagram story that hang out in my backyard, and those Bernese dogs are my landlord's, so they have two Bernese mountain dogs, so it's great. I think I have luck in like never quite having to like own my own pet, be entirely responsible for my own pet. Not that I wouldn't love that, I just don't feel like I'm in a financial place to, like, you know, I think if you get a dog or, like, a cat, like, you know, you should be in a place where, like, if a really expensive vet bill comes in, it wouldn't, like, keep you from paying rent, right? So I just don't feel like I'm in a secure enough financial spot for my own dog. Well, it would be a dog. I'm much more of a dog person than a cat person. But regardless, here's what I'm getting at here. The house absolutely needs a cat. This house is a cat house. Also, because we live in such a wooded backyard, like, it's weird because this house is, like, right in the heart of Logan Square. If you're familiar with the Chicagoland area, like, very, like, cityscape, a lot more in the city than, or, like, I guess in a more metropolitan area than my last place was. My last place was a little bit more in a residential area of Chicago. And if you're not familiar with Chicago, it has, like, 10 or 12, like, different neighborhoods, and all the neighborhoods kind of have a different personality or different vibe, right? So, anyways, even though I'm in this, like, more metropolitan area, I guess, more populated area, by busier streets and things like that, still the backyard is, like, very viney and wooded, and yeah, I think it calls for, like, a cat, but, anyways, once my roommate brings a cat over, she was like, you know, this cat is gonna, he's gonna be getting used to the new environment for a second. So, I think he's just gonna, like, go hide under my bed probably for, like, the next week while he, like, integrates where he is. And I was like, oh my god, that's another animal example of how, like, on an animalistic level, when there's a big change, like, for this cat, the change is he's moving into this new witchy house, and he's the new familiar who will fight off any mice or critters who may find their way into this old house. Luckily, he's a hunter cat, so, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. That does apply to this household, just because it's an old house in the middle of the city. But yeah, this cat needs to integrate. This cat needs to hide under the bed for a second, right? And I'm wondering how this week will allow us or invite us within this massive eclipse season change that we may be going through. It's almost like, you know, where's the hide under the bed moment? Where's the integration moment, right? So I think that's why the Four of Swords is coming to us this week. All this Scorpio energy, sometimes it's best to use that energy in regards of really tuning in internally and, yeah, and connecting to ourselves within that state of retreat and rest. Yeah, my friends, that's the kind of week ahead vibes. I would love to be of service to you today, but I'm thinking let's do a 3-card poll so everybody can get a message. And I'm gonna pull like 3 different tarot cards, and you can tune into these symbols, I guess, that I'm about to shout out, and like you can pick which symbol feels right to you, if that makes sense. Okay, and like that symbol will correlate with your card. So the symbols I'm thinking of right now are the bee, the spider, and the butterfly. Okay, so yeah, just marinate with that for a moment. The bee, the spider, the butterfly. Which one of those bugs feels most relevant for whatever reason? Just which one of those bugs is calling to you in this moment? The other thing I was going to say is, like, in the tune of doubling down on self-care, like, I was like, I'm just going to, like, schedule a bunch of, like, cupping and massage and acupuncture appointments this month, and, like, maybe even, like, an energy healing with this new energy healer I met. Like, I was like, you know what? That's actually part of my retreat. And, you know, the part of my retreat moment of this week is, like, you know, seeking the healing, the energy work that I might need. And I think for us witches, us highly sensitive people, energy work can be really helpful in this moment of integration. Katie, you said not to be morbid, but I woke up and there was a sweet little white spider that had just died directly on my journal. That's so funny. The spider has been my, like, number one guide throughout this whole moving journey the past couple months. And I've been finding spiders and I, like, take them back outside. And I was at this reading tarot at this festival a couple weeks ago, and there was a henna artist there, so she did a henna spider on my arm, and it's still there, and I, like, got it as, like, a talisman to sort of give me strength throughout the move. And my real tattoo artist, Karen, I'm gonna have her actually do a real spider tattoo on me at some point. Maybe not right now, but we'll see. But I have this vision of a spider tattoo. Like the true lesbian that I am, you have to have at least a spider or a snake tattoo. Okay, bee, spider, or butterfly. Okay, let's go with the bees first. The bees, 10 of cups. Amazing. So this has actually been coming out a lot lately because I do think sometimes eclipse season is the push and the change that we need. And I picked the bee too, Emmy. So the 10 of cups, I think, means everything is more on track than your anxiety may be telling you it is. And I think there's something really big working out for you in this moment that not only has to do with you, but it has to do with, like, your family or your community or your friends or the people that you live with. Like, there's some kind of joint collective foundation that is sort of coming together, and you might not be able to see it right now because it's a little bit more of a long-term manifestation, but I think the connections in your, like, community and things like that are really there for you right now. So I think celebrate, even though it's a moment of retreat and we can kind of feel a bit emo at the moment with the changing of the seasons and the changing of the weather and all of that. You know, the 10 of cups is also, like, things have worked out for you and they are continuing to work out for you. And the abundance isn't over and there's still more abundance on its way. So just keep an eye out for that. Again, you don't necessarily have to be in this active, goal-oriented state to attract this abundance. Anyways, right? Okay. Wait, Emmy, this is so creepy. Okay, wait, I'm gonna tell you something. So let me read your comment first. So I picked the bee because we listened to the Black Eyed Peas song I'm a Bee while cleaning the restaurant last night. It's still stuck in my head. Like, I can't tell you, this is so dorky. I've been listening to so much Black Eyed Peas lately. I will say, like, that album, The End, is one of the best albums of all time. Like, tell me that is a no-skip album. I don't know why I've been, like, listening to the Black Eyed Peas. I've been listening to Destiny's Child a lot lately. Yeah, no, that is so creepy that you said that at me, because that's been one of my jams lately. On top of the new Bad Bunny album, right? Because that just came out, but it's a good album. It's a very good album. Boom Boom Pow, all of those hits are on there. So now we'll go to the spider. The death card. So we had such a good class on Thursday night, with, my Tarot for Healing crew in Chicago. We had such a good class, about the death card on, just this past Thursday night. And, like, we were really talking about, like, literal grief. Like, a lot of the class, there was this theme in the class of, like, you know, having parents who have passed away and having parents who are sick and, like, or even other people that we love that have left us and navigating the grief process within that. So I think sometimes the death card gives us permission to make the grieving process our own. Even if it doesn't necessarily have to do with a family member or a friend, you know, passing on to the other side. You know, it could have to do with, like, grieving those old versions of ourselves, or just even giving grief a space at your table. We live in a culture, American culture is, like, terrified of grief and death. And I guess not everybody here is in America, so I'm guilty of the America-centered viewpoint here. But, like, you know, for me, like, out of all the places I've been, like, this country is so scared of death, yet, I don't know, it's this weird hypocrisy because we fund so many, like, unethical military pursuits, you know, that lead to, like, the mass murder of innocent civilians across the world. So, like, it's this weird juxtaposition where it's, like, in American culture, like, we're the killers, we're the people that you don't want to mess with, yet in actual everyday society, I mean, no one talks about death, and we'll say, like, I'm sorry for your loss, and then the next week, we'll kind of have this attitude of, you know, aren't you over it yet? You know, that's kind of the American attitude. Nobody will actually, like, say that most of the time, but that's sort of the underlying attitude when it comes to death and grief. Aren't you over it yet? Whereas, you know, we forget that death is this ongoing, or grief is this ongoing process, right? So I think that's the message for the spiders today. Like, the message is, let your grief be an ongoing and changing thing. Grief doesn't necessarily have an end. But it has different identities, and it morphs into different things. And our relationship to grief is changing constantly. So allow it to just have a seat at your table instead of kicking it out, you know, because it's too hard to have it at your table. It's actually harder to not have it at your table, believe it or not. Okay. And then finally, the butterflies. We got temperance. Guys, this poll was kind of creepy spot on to, like, everything we were talking about with, like, the bear and the four of swords. And all of these cards kind of feel like they're reflecting that in some way. And we might actually know that the temperance card is the card, the 14th card that comes after death, right? So, like, after we have the death card moment, we enter into the temperance moment, which is the sort of integration of the new identity. It's the alchemical process that shows us, like, now that this shift and this change has shifted and changed us, now we're like, how do we integrate this new thing into my life? And I'll echo my roommate's cat. You know, once my roommate's cat gets here and is kind of scared of the new environment, he's going to hide under the bed for about a week. He's going to take this moment to, like, let his system get attuned to the new environment. And integration is a slow process. That's why when we start pulling the temperance card, or when we're in a temperance card moment, sometimes that can be like the longest moment that the tarot can provide for us. Like a tower card moment could be like that. You know, it's here and it happens and it's over in a second. But the temperance card is could last months. You know, could last even years, trying to integrate, like, who am I now in this new version of myself? Who am I now that I've completed a project or ended this relationship or moved to this new home? So there's big integration vibes going on in temperance. And remember, integration happens on a spiritual level, it happens on a mental level, and it happens on a physical level, okay? So, might be helpful for those of you who picked butterfly or the temperance card, maybe even pull your own individualized tarot card spread. Really, everybody could do this, but especially the people who pick temperance. Like, pull a three-card spread follow-up that's, like, spiritual integration, mental integration, and physical integration. Pull a card for each of those subjects and just see what's being reflected to you. I'm going to do that after we get off Witch Church, because I think that would be even helpful for myself in this moment. Okay. And Lauren, you said, oh gosh, I'm definitely trying to step into temperance. Ooh, I could see that, especially with Lauren, you finishing this, like, big project of your book and, like, being like, okay, how do I integrate now being in this phase of the book being finished? And, like, what does this mean? You know, so it makes sense. So my friends, thank you so much for joining today. It was really great to, you know, connect with this community during such a chaotic week in the world. And if we just want to end today, can we do a collective prayer for the Israel-Palestine conflict? Let's just, you know, Let's take a deep breath and send a lot of, you know, not only light and healing and just the highest vibration of energy to all of these people suffering, but I hope that we can all be, like, in full agreement of some sort of, like, karmic pattern breaking on a collective scale, because you know, it's this conflict that's been present for so long. And, you know, as an American, I know my country's been in the middle of it for too long, too. So, you know, let's just send a prayer that, you know, our, on some level, the human consciousness is coming to this realization that this way, warfare being a way to solve problems has never worked, will never work, and is honestly, like, just not smart. It's not intelligent. It's never been intelligent. It's never been it's just never been a worthwhile way to navigate human conflict in this world, right? So I'm just kind of in agreement that, like, we're gonna see some sort of shift with Pluto in Aquarius, you know, of how we're dealing with worldly conflicts as a whole. Okay, so I'm just gonna be quiet now and let's just take a minute to, yeah, just say any prayers or send any good energy to whatever you want to send to in this moment when it comes to sort of the Palestine-Israel conflict. Thanks, friends. I feel it. Yeah. Thanks so much. Okay, friends. Keep that in mind as we go into this week, and I'll see you guys at the next Witch Church. Okay. Bye, friends.